Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host, Tony Smith.
You know, Blake Bortles is bebopping around this building somewhere. I know he is. He's been here working out. I know Mike said he saw him last week when Mike was coming in for the show and Blake was leaving already after a workout. To tell you just how early Blake's getting in and getting some work done. Good morning, Jacksonville, and welcome to another edition of Jaguars Today here on a Tuesday. And I know you're used to hearing the tones of Mike. Mike was here, I promise you. He came to work this morning, but apparently he had something that didn't agree with his stomach. He's a little under the weather, so he took off. He could not make it through the program today. So you got me, but we do have two-thirds of the original Jaguars Today lineup here still with us. Lauren Brooks, how are you this morning, Lauren?
I'm wonderful, thanks, Tony. How are you?
I'm doing great, and we
Sporting
wanted to have
brave
you.
Stuff.
I know. Well, it's baseball season, baby. Opening day, 1-0. Fire up the grilly, as I was saying all night for the first like hour of my show last night.
Do you call them grilled cheese like they did in Pittsburgh?
Not yet.
Not yet?
Not
okay.
yet. We got the fire up the grilly thing going after the trade of Kimbrel. And he's 1-for-1 in the save department after the game yesterday afternoon. But it's the one-year anniversary of Jaguars Today. We came on April 7, 2014 for our first show. I would have never known that. Like I don't pay attention to dates at all. So we actually tweeted you last week about, hey, when did this show start again? And you knew the exact date. I don't know how you remember that kind of stuff, but here we are. It's 1 year into this thing, right? It's 1 year into this thing, and we're here to celebrate that a little bit today. Wanted to get you in for at least a little bit of the show today. I know you're sticking around for the first hour, right?
Yes, I'll be here. And, you know, now that Mike's not here, if you need me for the second hour, you know, I don't really have to go anywhere, I suppose. I may have a job, but luckily I have a fantastic boss who understands that I'm equally passionate about landscape design as I am sports. Therefore, I'm able to be here.
Does your boss listen when you come in to do this stuff?
No, he's not really a sports guy.
Okay.
So, no, not really.
Because he makes strange demands. Every time that you're going to come and do anything with Mike and I, like, I know he had, like, yeah, you can go to the Super Bowl with him for that couple days if you get me a couple tickets to the game. And it's always something weird. You always come in, if you want to do, like, a segment with us on the phone, it's like, my boss said I could do this, but I have to blank. And it's like, that's so odd. I know today he wanted you to let everyone in Jacksonville know that he's single. Or something.
That's correct.
Oh, my goodness.
That I work for a great company, and he is single and ready to mingle. So, yeah, the one time I got to come for the Shipyards presentation, he said, if you get to talk to Shad and he wants you to go work for him, that's fine, but you have to make sure that I get to go on the yacht. That was the demand of that day.
Yeah, because so we're all like, just walking, wandering on and off that yacht whenever we want.
Right. I tried to kind of explain to him that Shad's not hiring me. I'm just showing up for a presentation right. that Shad's presenting.
Just so. As likely that I could get you like a snap in a uniform, buddy. Like, it's... It's about the same level of reality for those two things. But it is the one-year anniversary of Jaguars Today. So if you want to tweet us some of your favorite memories, moments, whatever, you can. We will certainly get to those throughout the program. If you want to call with some of those, you can today as well. It's 641-1010. Got a lot lined up on the show as well. Chris Mortensen is going to join us at 11:15 to talk a little bit about the Jaguars and the upcoming draft. And I always enjoy talking to Chris because he's been pretty positive on this whole Jaguars rebuild since it started. Mm-hmm. Likes Dave Caldwell, likes Gus Bradley, and it's hard not to like those two guys if you've ever met the two guys. And their personalities, they work really well together, but they are like polar opposites of as far as personality. Because Dave has this really wry sense of humor, and Gus is so just, he's just ball of light.
Extraordinarily positive.
Yeah.
And energetic.
Right. And so the two guys in the room together discussing draft, I just can't imagine like what the conversations are like. We're going to talk a lot about the eight guys that they have coming in for a visit today as well. It's Dante Fowler's pro day down there at the University of Florida. So we'll talk to Dan Hicken here in about half an hour and get an account of what's going on the ground down there. I don't know how much of the Jaguars coaching staff is going to be there. I know Dante Fowler is scheduled to come to Jacksonville for a visit next week anyway, so I don't know how much they're focusing on his pro day because they're going to put him through their own workout next week, but we'll find out what exactly is going on down there at the University of Florida for their pro day today.
Do you think there will be any brooms involved in today's pro day?
I don't know. That seems like a quarterback thing.
It is. That's what I was thinking, was there's not really anyone that needs them, but I kind of want them to be there.
I wonder if Dante Fowler could just line up and they start hitting him with a broom or something. I don't know what they would do with that with a defensive end drill, but we'll talk about the 8 guys they got coming in. And that leads us to our fan feedback spotlight question today, which is, what, if anything, does the list of guys that are coming in to visit today say to you as a Jaguars fan?
They knew I was going to be here.
Yeah, right. They knew that Lauren was going to be here so they could all meet Lauren Brooks. Look,
yeah, right.
It's an interesting list. And with the guys that are coming here to visit this team, Shane Ray, Melvin Gordon, Leonard Williams, Amari Cooper, Devontae Parker, Randy Gregory, Vic Beasley, Michael Bennett. And they're kind of all over the place. I think I talked to John Ocher about this a little bit last week when Mike was out playing golf at the Guggen, but I talked
no
to
jealousy
John,
in that voice
right,
whatsoever.
I can't play golf with my shoulder.
That's right.
But I talked to John Ocher about this. I was like, I want to be in one draft meeting. You know, I just want to be in one to realize how wrong we all have it all the time. You know, and just how different it is. Like, I know how people think they know what to do with sports radio, right? Like, they think they know what to do on this side of the microphone if they ever got that opportunity. Mm-hmm. And then we'll have someone sit in the studio with us, and they're like, man, that was hard. Like, it's not easy. There is a skill to this. It's not a complicated skill, but there is a skill to this.
And, there's a rhythm. That,
right.
Yeah, that people
and you
don't
realize it when you get put in the room and doing it. I want to be in a draft room because we talk draft a lot. I want to be in that room just once so I can realize how wrong how different the mythology or the methodology is for those guys.
Some of it's probably mythology.
Right. For those guys compared to what we do, the conversations they have about these players, how vastly different it must be than the ones that we have when we're sitting here in this room.
Well, and I think when you talk to fan bases, they focus on what's the biggest need for the team, right? Because they sit in the stands and they see the fact that we don't have any big threatening receivers. Yes, we have a bunch of quick, fast young guys, but we don't have a receiver like Amari Cooper. Mm-hmm. And so they say, well, Blake needs another target and let's throw, you know, someone who had a fantastic year at Alabama last year in there. While what I think happens is Dave Caldwell and the scouting staff and the coaching staff could care less about the actual need right that minute, and they look more at either a long-term solution or who they focus on to be the absolute best player, bar none. And so I think that's where it's so much easier from the fan perspective, because we can almost address it more on a very obvious basis, and they're looking far more in depth. And then imagine we all talk about, you know, we got to see a lot of the much better players last year, the ones that play in the SEC or the ones that play in the ACC on the bigger scales. And they're having to focus on a tackle from, let's say, well, I'll put it this way, a linebacker from Grand Valley State, if you're going to take like the Scoot of the Year that he came out. You know, these tiny schools and these players. And so there's so much more work that goes into it than I would ever want to put into it. I think like day 3 of watching straight film on these players would make my eyes water. You know, just in the dark room, it's springtime, it's beautiful, you want to go to the beach? Nope. You're watching film.
No, this is what you do because you love it. And I get that part of it, too. I think that there is this weird split, right? Because I have talked to people. I know I do the show on Monday night with Ryan, Big Country, and he is all about Amari Cooper at number 3, and I'm not that guy. I'm not with Amari Cooper at number 3 for this Jaguars team, because I think there is something to, no one's ever done a rebuild like they're doing, right? I mean, no one's ever tried to rebuild like Jacksonville.
Like less than 20% of the team,
right,
or is on the roster that started, yeah.
Right, and they're so young on that offensive side of the ball that it feels like, I get the fans that are out there that are saying, look, they don't have this and this and this on the offense, and my response is, yeah, but they think they do. Like, they're not convinced they don't, I don't think. I don't get the sense from them that they're convinced they don't have that. Like, they still think Luke Joeckel will turn into a pretty good left tackle. They don't feel like they have to address center. Now, they may want to add some depth on an offensive line, but they don't feel like they have to because they believe in Joeckel and Bowanko and Linder that they're going to grow into those roles even more going into their second year. They believe Bortles is going to take a big step forward going into year two. And the same thing with Allen Robinson and Marquise Lee and Allen Hurns. They believe those guys are going to take a step forward. No one's ever done it with everybody that young at the same time. And the argument against it is, well, somebody's not going to work. You know, if you're relying on eight pieces to grow together at the same time, odds are two or three of them aren't going to work out. So you'll have to make a decision at some point with those players. I'm not sure with a team that still needs as much help as they do on the defensive side of the ball and are in a position at number three to get a premier pass rusher, potentially, that they're going to ignore that and say, well, let's go get another weapon for Blake Bortles. I just don't get that sense in the building. Of course, I didn't get the sense that it was going to be Blake Bortles last year either.
Right, and I think the key to being a Jaguar fan right now is to put your full trust and belief that what Dave Caldwell is putting together are the correct pieces. If you don't believe that Boenko is your center, if you don't believe that Linder's your right guard, and if you don't believe that Luke Jokel is going to get so much better after having a healthy offseason and putting on muscle like nobody's business, then you probably aren't going to renew your season tickets, because it is terrifying to think that they're putting rookies in and they could potentially fail. I'm on the side of it that truly believes that if you're putting your faith in the process, then you are going to see results as early as potentially this year, along with mixing in some veterans. One of the most important free agent signings for us, and one that I was most excited about, was Julius Thomas, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
That's somebody who can come in here immediately and help the team, and not just from a leadership perspective, but from an actual physical perspective.
Well, yeah, he's a dynamic pass-catching tight end. That adds a viable weapon to that offense for Blake Bortles. They add the right tackle. You get the sense they're adding a running back. Like, it's coming.
You would think. Yeah, absolutely you would think.
So if they do that, then you're talking about adding another piece at three of those positions on the offensive side of the ball, along with all that growth. And, look, I don't think that all those guys are going to take that big step forward. I don't think they can. Like, the numbers of it just don't work that way. That's like hitting the lottery if you get all those guys to take those big steps forward at the same time. Somebody's not going to work. And it's almost like you have to see them on the field to figure out which guy that's going to be.
Which is why I'm so excited about training camp.
Right. And the fans are trying to guess, based on their opinion of the guys right now, which of those guys it's going to be. The defensive side of the ball has significant holes in it still. And I know this team got after the quarterback and got a bunch of sacks last year, but they didn't get pressure.
Right.
And there's nobody on this team.
Makes sense.
Right. There's nobody on this team that when you line up, you say, oh, that's their sack guy. You don't want it to be Sendarek Marks with eight, right? They need somebody that it's like, oh, that's the guy who goes after the quarterback.
Right. And
how much it helps everyone else.
Obviously, they hoped it was going to be Chris Clemens.
He's okay.
Yeah, he was right. He was okay. Good, solid veteran player for this team last year, but he wasn't the guy that, like you said, you feared. He wasn't the J.J. Watt. Which,
no.
By the way, was J.J. Watt with Carolyn Wozniacki at the game last night?
I don't know if he was with Carolyn Wozniacki. I know he was at the game.
There was a blonde chick that everyone was tweeting that was Carolyn Wozniacki. And someone I thought brilliant said, Jaguar fans should be happy because if you saw what Rory's career did after, he was with Wozniacki.
Yeah, she certainly didn't help Rory.
No.
During that time.
No, but yeah, I think that Leonard Williams obviously makes a lot of sense because this team has created this Leo position, and he would potentially fulfill that.
I don't know if Leonard Williams fills the Leo, but he's such a dynamic player, and he feels like an almost can't-miss guy.
Well, he's got such great length, which I know is what they want at that position in athletics.
But they want a guy that's a little bit smaller than Leonard Williams. He'd be playing more that Audric spot if he came in, and that's kind of the debate with Leonard Williams is, all right, if they get in a position at number three where Leonard Williams is the guy, and I wouldn't be surprised if he was. If it goes quarterback, I wouldn't be surprised if Williams was the pick. All right, what do you do? Because now you got four guys to play the two spots, and I don't know what you balance that kind of out with, and how healthy Sendarek Marks is at the beginning of the season may help you a little bit in that regard, but it makes it a more of a debate as opposed to, hey, we took Vic Beasley. We know where Vic Beasley's playing. All right, he's got one position on this team, and there's nobody else that's going to take him out of that spot. There's a guy that can groom him in Chris Clemens, but nobody's taking him out of that spot. And it's kind of the same deal with Dante Fowler, any of those guys, Bud Dupree, those types of guys. We're asking you today, with the eight guys coming in to visit, who, what, if anything, does that tell you about this team and where they're at with this draft process? You can respond on Twitter at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Lauren, at 1010XL Tyler, on the Facebook page as well, facebook.com/Jaguars Today. We'll get to some of your answers a little bit later on. Dan Hicken going to join us in about 20 minutes live from the University of Florida Pro Day,
where scouts are gathering, according to John Osier.
And Dante Fowler, obviously the big name out there of interest for the Jaguars, but he's coming in for a visit a little bit later. We'll visit with Dan Hicken about him and a bunch of the other players out there at the University of Florida here in about 20 minutes. John Osier wrote an article yesterday. He had the opportunity to sit down and talk with Luke Jokel, getting really his first offseason after the rehab last year and what that means for him. We'll talk about that conversation John had the opportunity to have with Luke Jokel, your third year now left tackle, here in just a few moments as we continue on a Tuesday edition of Jaguars Today. It's the one-year anniversary of Jaguars Today. We've been doing this for a year. If you have a favorite memory, you can share it with us on Twitter or on the phone lines at 641-1010. We'll get to some of your phone calls a little bit later on as we roll on a Tuesday edition of Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. It's our birthday of sorts.
At least I said it's our birthday. You really have no idea.
You would know. I really don't know. I don't pay attention to dates. I know, like, my family's birthdays. I know the actual dates. How old any of them are, don't ask me.
Well, I think I remember because I switched shows, you know, obviously from XL Primetime to Jaguars Today because of the schedule changing. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's why it kind of sticks in my brain a little bit more. And I knew it was the first week of April. I just looked at my calendar and said, oh, yeah, that was it. That's right.
Yeah. Opening day in baseball must have been earlier last year than it was this year.
I feel like it was like March 30th or somewhere around there.
Because I was on the cruise during opening day last year. I didn't get to experience all this. And, like, my friends were watching. I was a basket case. Like, the day the Braves were playing their opening day game, I was like, yeah, but I'm missing baseball. I'm on this cruise in the middle of the Caribbean with these unbelievably blue water. Like, it's beautiful down there. Mm-hmm. And I'm just telling all my friends, I wonder what the Braves are doing. Like, I was so distracted for that one day. And it was the Masters week last year. It was all that same weekend that I was on that cruise. I didn't see the NCAA championship game last year. I didn't see Augusta.
That was poor timing by you.
I know. I didn't see Augusta. I didn't see opening day in baseball. And apparently it was right around April 7th. Because when I came back, the next show I did was right here for Jaguars Today, our first one.
Were you super tan?
No.
No, not really.
Look, like, for me, vacation is, even on that cruise, it was like I would get away from all my friends and go read a book.
Ah.
Like, I would do that for a couple hours, like, every morning. It's like, I need to be alone.
Decompress.
Yeah, with no noise, just out there watching the ocean go by and relax. Like, that's the idea of vacation to me. Did I go to a few beaches? Yeah, sure. But I much prefer just sitting there with a book in my hand for a couple hours, which I don't get to do at all during football season.
Right.
Because you're going just nonstop. But during this time of year in the summer, I can usually do a little bit of that. Like, put the Braves game on at night.
Mm-hmm.
Sit there and read a little bit. It's awesome. Let's get out to the phone lines for the first time today. It is the one-year anniversary, birthday, whatever you want to call it, of Jaguars Today. And Christoph, who's one of our loyal listeners all the way over there in the UK, has dialed us up at 641-1010. Christoph, how are you today, buddy?
I'm very good. How are you guys today?
Doing wonderful.
Fantastic.
So, one-year anniversary. Do you have a favorite moment or like, Dempsey meltdown? Or
when Lauren left the show.
The Ryan O'Halloran, the Mike Dempsey, Justin Blackmon arguments are always a good one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I like them arguments.
No, they're fantastic.
Especially the one that was just before when Mike came out to England and there was that big, like, argument. I thought Dempsey was going to, like, eat someone. Or the Jaguars win against the Cleveland Browns. That was a pretty good show because everyone was just so happy and everyone was a lot more relaxed after the game and that whole week.
No, we were, and it's kind of funny. You know, they only won the three games last year, but after all the wins, we had this parade of Jaguars through the studio on the Monday after all the wins, and there's all these smiling faces. And, Christoph, the thing I remember most about the Monday after that Cleveland Browns win is Blake Bortles came in here in studio with us for the first time since training camp. He was in here with us, and he sat down, and he didn't have a great game against Cleveland. And we asked him, you know, how's it feel to get that first win? And he's like, I don't know why all y'all want to talk to me. He was like, I didn't really have much to do with it. It was, you know, the defense was great, and we made a couple plays, but, man, I didn't help. it was so honest and so open from your quarterback, and that's the guy he's been since he got here.
Yeah, that's true. He's also a really – he seems to be, like, a really nice guy. I mean, because – myself and a whole bunch of Jaguars UK fans got to meet the entire team when they landed in England. And he did the whole autograph session and stuff like that for like a whole bunch of players. And I was busy in line getting guys' autographs and stuff. And Mike, being the nice guy that he is, was actually able to get Blake's attention. And Blake signed my shirt and stuff like that. And it was just cool because I was able just to have like a couple of seconds with Blake Bortles. And he just seems like a really nice guy, like really down to earth and just a cool guy in general.
No, he definitely is. And Christoph, we appreciate you giving us the call from all the way over there in Britain today on the 1 year anniversary. Don't be a stranger, brother. I know I talk to you on Twitter all the time. All right, man. And we appreciate the listens, buddy. There he goes. That's Christoph all the way over there.
Always good to talk to him. I've never actually gotten to talk to him on air before. I always talk to him, obviously, as he was on hold or before he would get to join y'all.
We're still waiting, by the way. We need to hit Africa and Asia. And I'm not worried about Antarctica. Like, that's such a pipe dream for anybody to hit, like somebody calling into a show. But we've got the other continents. So come on, Africa and Asia. I know there's at least one of you out there listening. Figure it out, the international dialing. I don't know how it works, so you're going to have to figure it out on your own. But it's 904-641-1010. Give us a call so that we can talk a little Jaguars football on all the continents of this great world of ours.
That's probably one of my favorite memories is when we had the guy from Australia lying in the hospital bed. Give us a call.
I still don't know what that guy's deal was.
I know what his deal was. He was hopped up on painkillers.
That was...
And he was excited about calling into the Jaguars today.
Yeah, that was such a weird moment. And if you missed it, a guy... It was exactly what Lauren said. It was a guy from Australia in, like, a hospital, laying on his bed, who called. He was clearly Australian, based on the accent. And he was like, I was just bored and wanted to give you guys a call and talk a little Jaguars football. And we were like, what time is it in Australia? Like, we were testing him to see if it was legit. He knew. It was totally legit. The dude was just calling from Australia, bored in his hospital bed.
Well, and I remember how excited I was to have listeners that far away. And obviously, I probably didn't figure out very quickly talking to him off air that he was on drugs. I just heard the Australia part and couldn't wait to tell Mike that we have our first caller from another continent. And then as the call went along, it got more and more awkward,
right?
But that was a fun moment. I liked that one. Christoph has been a great supporter. It's always good to have the BCB United Kingdom involved,
sure,
when the Jags go to London, which I've decided that this coming fall is my turn to go. That's what I've just decided.
I wonder what your boss will ask for you to go over to London for a couple of days. You know, it probably, honestly, my favorite part of starting this show, and Mike and I were doing a show for a year and a half, 2 years together before that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for an hour of the show every day, we were doing the football show, which was dedicated to the Jaguars and the NFL. We were kind of doing this kind of thing anyway before, but the station had the idea of this Jaguars Today show where it would be 2 hours from down here in the building, which has been amazing. Just the access that we get for this show from the team, being a part of the official flagship now, has been incredible. But my favorite part of the whole thing, honestly, has been...
Joe Fortunato.
No, just how much the audience felt like it expanded. You know, just with the Jaguars branding on it and being here for the 2 hours... And it being the Jaguars Today show. Like, it doesn't matter. This is April 7th. You know, not all the shows on this station today are going to be focused. They're going to be talking NCAA championship. Sure. They're going to be talking opening day in baseball a lot. Mm-hmm. The Masters coming up this weekend. We're talking Jaguars in the NFL here on this show for 2 hours. And because of it, there's been, you know, we're talking to guys like Kristoff and Stevie over there in Ireland. Mm-hmm. And we know what the audience is now across this entire country because Jaguars.com has been kind enough to be posting us up on their website as well. So fans from all over the world that are fans of the Jaguars that want more access to this team can download the show every day if they want to. And how big the audience was, and it's not just Jacksonville, it's global. And the feeling of this being a global audience really has been, for me, the coolest part of starting the show.
I loved the shirts that we got to create thanks to the station with the hashtag Jaguars Today and getting to pass those out to people, you know, listeners and fans. And it became almost like this massive fan base had something that they could really truly connect to. And Jacksonville can feel like a big city or it can feel like a small town depending on where you are in it.
Sure.
And I think that a lot of the big markets have things like this, shows like this, dedicated to just their team, and the Jaguars never fully did except the weekly shows that are on during the season. And so I think this was the first time that a diehard Jaguars fan could do nothing but listen to stuff about their team, call in, tweet about it for 2 solid hours. And that almost elevates it and makes it more fun. Now, is it going to be even more fun this year when the team wins more than 3 games? Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I'm 100% confident that the team will win more than 3 games, by the
they
way.
They better. I don't want to deal with it if they don't. Like, I've done that show so many times mm-hmm. in the last 5 years. It's like, mm-hmm. I'm used to the coming in here the day after and being like, well, it was mostly bad. But here's this player, too, to give you hope, like to tease you going into next week. I've done that show. It felt like a whole heck of a lot. But, look, I think the team is turning itself around. And, look, Mike and I, when this thing started, we weren't sure exactly how it was going to work, you know, and what it was going to be. We know that we're comfortable talking the NFL and the Jags, mm-hmm. right? And we love doing this every day. So it felt like a good fit for Mike and I to be doing it. Mike not able to be here today because he ate something bad. He's got food poisoning. He's probably terrible. Still on his way back home. He was here this morning, and he was like, I'm going to do the first segment. I'm going to do the first segment. He kept so telling dedicated. Me, I'm going to do the first segment. And I was sitting here across the table going, in my head, I'm like, I kept telling him, yeah, you know, if you want to do the first segment, that's cool, man. And in my head, I'm like, please just go because you're going to vomit all over me. Like, it's going to happen during the show. It's going to be our 1 year anniversary. And I kept, like, looking around the room for trash cans. Like, I was like, can I just bring him this one just in case if he is going to stick around for the first segment? Because he's got a bad stomach flu or food poisoning. And anyone who's ever had that knows it's 24 hours where you can't control yourself. It's going to happen at some point, and you're not going to be able to stop it. And he was just, I'm gonna do the first segment. And I was like, no.
Poor thing. That's one of my new favorite memories of the show is we have this great idea to do the 1 year anniversary show.
I know.
Poor Mike gets sick.
He was so disappointed, honestly.
Oh, I'm sure.
He was so disappointed that he couldn't stick around at least for 10 minutes of the show. And he was fighting. He was fighting so hard. And then he was after like 10 minutes of him sitting there.
Sweating.
He just looked up at me and he was like, I'm going to go. I can't do it. And I'm like, it's cool, man. You know, if you're sick, you're sick. I don't want to be here with you when you're sick either. So get on out of here. We'll do this thing again tomorrow. But that's why Mike's not here today. He wanted to be, obviously.
I showed up and you said, he gone.
Yeah, he gone. Mike out. He's out of here.
All right. Wow.
So it's just me and Lauren Brooks on the 1 year anniversary of Jaguars Today. And we were a month away from the draft last year when we came on.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit less than that this year with the draft getting pushed up that extra week or two. So, look, we got 3.5 weeks to figure this thing out. One of the names that's being talked about with the Jags a lot is Dante Fowler down there at the University of Florida. We got eyes on the ground in Gainesville for the Florida Pro Day. Dan Hicken is set to join us next as we take a closer look at Dante Fowler from the Road Scout. And Mike and I dubbed him that. That was something that Mike and I came up
well
with.
Done.
He's been getting all the accolades off that whole Road Scout thing now for a couple of years. That was Mike and I that dubbed him the Road Scout. So we'll talk.
We'll need to mention that.
That's right, to the Road Scout, Dan Hicken.
Let's go to Hogtown.
Coming up next as we take our trip down to Gainesville for the Pro Day today as we continue on a Tuesday here on Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. There are so many options for this Jaguars team at number three this year in this draft. We've heard so many names attached to him, but the most common name to this point has definitely been Dante Fowler Jr. The University of Florida has its pro day going on right now, and we go to the Road Scout. We called you the Road Scout first, Hicken. It was me and Mike that first dubbed you the Road Scout as he's down there in Gainesville at the University of Florida. How are you today, Hick?
I'm doing well. It's a beautiful day down here in the swamp, and I'm in the corner of the end zone watching this thing unfold, and got a lot of guys running 40s. Well, probably about half of them ran. There's 22 kids here in all. In fact, there's a JU kid right now who's down here as well running his 40. So, you know, a few other guys as well getting an opportunity. And for those guys, it's a huge day. For Dante Fowler Jr., he's in sandals with a towel over his back, cheering on his teammates right now. So I don't know how much work he's going to do today.
Yeah, I know he's. It's been announced that he's coming to visit the Jags after the workout gets done there at Florida today, right?
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, he'll be down. He'll be over in Jacksonville, and I guess upwards of 15 guys coming in today and tomorrow as well. So Jags getting a lot of work done. That's how they like to do it. It seems to work for them, and I think it's a safe bet that the number three pick will be in there.
So, Dan, obviously Gainesville, a phenomenal place. Let's just say that. First and foremost, the pictures look gorgeous. But I have a question for you. How do you feel about defensive tackle Leon Orr actually being able to participate in today's pro day, even though he was kicked off the team?
That's interesting. I would suspect if Will Muschamp was still the coach, he wouldn't be. But, I'm okay with it. I mean, he did an immature thing, and he paid a price, and he was, let go from the program, but I'm okay with second chances. So he ran the 40s. He's a big kid, man. He's it's amazing when you watch these guys. You look at all these athletes that are here. I just you watch Andre DeBose run, and I mean he glides. I don't know his 40 time, but I'll bet you it's 4.3s. And he'll have a chance in the league as a kick returner. He just he never developed as a receiver for a lot of different reasons. But there's a guy who, athletically, and he knows how to do it. He looks like he's shot out of a cannon when he gets the football in his hands at the goal line. So, and he definitely goes north and south with it. So, he might be somebody, for teams to take a flyer on. Not that he's going to get drafted or anything, but it'll be interesting to see. But yeah, I'm okay with, Leon Orr getting another chance.
With Dante Fowler coming up here after the pro day today, what kind of Jaguars contingent have you noticed down there to watch the University of Florida workout?
Well, that's a good question. And I saw Tim Mingy, one of the scouts, and so far he's the only one I've seen. I would assume Todd Wash is down here, but I have not seen him yet to go through some of these drills with these guys. But it's not what you would expect, but that's understood because of what, they set it up perfectly. They got the pro day today, then he comes over to Jacksonville. He meets with those guys, with the rest of them, today. So I think the Jaguars have been prudent and obviously eyeballed this date. So I don't think you can read much into the fact that who's here and who's not. Now, I could be wrong. It just started. So, but that's all I've seen so far.
We did see Ryan O'Halloran say that Doug Marrone is there, as well as linebackers coach Robert Saleh. So just a couple guys. Did you bring a broom with you, Dan?
Did I bring a broom with me? No, I'm not participating in any of the drills today. So yeah.
in their face and see what they've got?
No. In fact, we, the media, we're lucky to be on the field right now. So, they're in the middle of the field right now and, doing some stuff. They just finished up their 40 yard dashes and, they'll continue some, individual workouts now as, guys will get some video of these guys doing their thing. So. Oh, but, really, I think on a day like today, it's more of an opportunity for those guys who didn't get to go to the combine. You know what I mean? This is a day for Dante Fowler Jr. If you're interested in him, you're just keeping an eye on him, but he's not going to run or do the bench press or vertical jumps or things like that. He's, he's going to stand on his, you know, freakish totals that he had in Indianapolis, I would suspect.
Now, for you, Dan, we've been talking about the draft now for about a month, and again, mm-hmm. Dante Fowler is the guy that's most commonly associated with the Jags in that number three pick. You're obviously a Gators fan, so you've been watching Dante Fowler for the last handful of years.
Right.
What is your sense of him as far as, is he worthy of that number three overall pick? Does he fill that need for this team at the Leo position if he is that pick?
You know, here's what I've said about Dante. His statistics were not off the charts, but I've been watching Florida Gator football religiously since, you know, the beginning of the 80s. And I've watched Wilbur Marshall, keeping in mind these are guys I'm talking about in college. I watched Kevin Carter. I watched Reggie Nelson as a Gator. And I put this kid's season up against those seasons as some of the best in Florida history. He didn't get the sacks, but he affected the plays. He was all over the place. He was always close. He never gave up. He's fun to watch, guys. He didn't have to play in that bowl game. You know, Matt Jones didn't play in the bowl game. Andre DeBose didn't play in the bowl game. Not only did Dante play in it, but he was the best player on the field that day. I got a lot of respect for that in a kid. He loves the game. So yeah, I think he'd be fine, but you know, Jacksonville don't have a great history with Gator draft picks, do they?
No. No, they certainly don't. We're talking to
Dan. No, they don't.
Obviously part of the drill. And CBS 47, Fox 30, down there for the University of Florida Pro Day at Gainesville. And Dante Fowler, the star of this thing, but he's not participating in much, it doesn't sound like, today as far as the Pro Day. But you mentioned that bowl game, and it's been interesting. The guys that we have talked to as far as draft experts, I've heard more than one of them go back to that game specifically for Dante Fowler and mention exactly what you did, Hick, that he didn't have to show up and play as hard as he did that day, but he did. And that tells him something about the mentality and the way that young man is built.
Yeah, he's the right size, obviously, for what Gus wants to do at that position. He's a freakish athlete. I mean, there are a lot of good things. We have no idea what way the Jaguars are leaning. But I would think of all the defensive ends, he would be the best fit, I think, for Jacksonville if they go that route. Could be wrong, could be Shane Ray, who knows. But I would think he would or Beasley, obviously, is a name you hear a lot, too. So it'll be, you know, Dave Caldwell sticks to his guns, and I think he's going to take the best player that he thinks he's going to get on the board, and I suspect he'll do that, and it's going to be fun, and I can't wait, and I hope they, you know, obviously we hope they hit a home run with this pick. They need to.
Of those defensive ends that you mentioned, I kind of get the sense that Dante Fowler has the attitude that's probably most similar to what Gus Bradley is looking for in a player. Do you get that sense as well?
Well, I mean, with my little dealings with him, yes, but I don't, to be fair, I don't know the other kids. So, you know, I mean, Vic Beasley, as freakish of an athlete as Dante Fowler Jr. Is, Vic Beasley was the star of the workout combine part, right? I mean, so that could be another kid that they have high on their board. You know, it's a guessing game at this point. We don't know who they have on their board. It's going to be fun over these next few weeks to try and figure it out. I mean, they bring all these kids in. A lot of people will say, why? You know, you because they also don't want everybody else to know what they're going to do. What if they decide they do want to trade now? You know, what if that's an option that presents itself? You know, maybe they go that route and let somebody else get one of those guys, and maybe they still get the guy that they covet at 7 or 8 or 9, you know? So it's, it's beginning to unfold. This is another piece of the puzzle. And quite frankly, it's about the final pieces of the puzzle now as you finish up your board and you really start to kind of do some mock drafts and figure out who's going to go where to your best guess.
All right, Hick, is there another player or two you got your eye on today?
I mean, you know, there's a lot. There's guys that, you know, obviously Humphrey's here. Now, the Jags, he doesn't have fit for the Jags, but that's a kid who, you know, by all accounts is going to be a better pro than he was college player. You know, and he was so highly rated when he got here, but he was light. And so he had to kind of grow into that body. And if that takes 2 years, well, that's 2 years where you're playing him where, you know, he would have benefited Florida for him to redshirt it. Obviously, he didn't need to do it. So, but there's a kid you're going to watch. I mentioned DeBose just as a kick returner. You know, the rest of these guys, I, you know, haven't watched them at Florida. Max Garcia have a chance in the league, I think. Not many more. I mean, and again, that's not to disrespect these kids. They're in tremendous shape. They all are big kids. They all run fast, but the NFL is a different world, man. It's a cut above everything else. So it'll be, you know, it shows you when you come down here and you stand on the sidelines and look at these young men and realize that, you know, 80% of them aren't going to play in the league. That's an amazing thing, man. It's an amazing thing.
No, it really is. It really is. Dan Hicken joining us from the University of Florida Pro Day. Thank you for giving us a few minutes of your time. Go enjoy the workouts as much as one can enjoy watching a pro day. Thanks so much for a couple minutes of your time today.
All right, man. Take care.
All right. That's Dan Hicken, part of the drill, also of Fox 30, CBS 47, obviously with Action Sports News. So, look, doesn't sound like Dante Fowler is going to do much at the pro day. Maybe he does a little bit more when he comes up to Jacksonville later on this afternoon. As he joins the list of eight players, it's now expanded out to nine guys that are coming in this
afternoon. Revolving door here today.
I know. To visit with the Jacksonville Jaguars, our fan feedback spotlight question of the day. What, if anything, does that list of players tell you about the Jaguars and their draft process right now? You can respond to that on Twitter at 1010XLFatTony, at 1010XLLauren, at 1010XLTyler, or on the Facebook page, facebook.com/JaguarsToday. We got this date in football history as well as the Honda Drive around the NFL coming up on the other side as we roll along here on a Tuesday edition of Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history presented by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. Today on this date in football history, it's April 7th. We got a bunch of birthdays, and I was just sharing with Lauren. You know, Mike and I, like we said, we didn't know how this show was going to work when we started this thing a year ago. This date in football history has been a part of the show since the very beginning.
Since its inception.
Yeah, of the show. And we've been using the same terrible website to get our this date in football history information. Now, look, I'm on Pro Football Reference, and they don't have, that's not the terrible website, by the way. They don't have, like, this is like when Spalding was the official, like, game ball of the NFL or anything on this page. But at this time of year, it's generally a bunch of birthdays that we're going over. So Mike was, I'm going to do the first segment. He went through this whole thing, and then he had to go. He had to take off because he was sick this morning. So I'm like, all right, I got to do this date in football history, and I don't have the link to the terrible website that we use every day for this date in football history. So I went to Pro Football Reference, and they have a birthday section. And I got a list of 64 players in the history of this league.
Wow. You know, it's nothing. There's nothing more scintillating in radio than reading a list of 64 people.
I'm not doing
and
that.
And their birthday.
I'm not doing that. But some of the notables that have been born on April 7th in the history of this league, including a couple of brothers, both born on the same date in 1975, Rondé and Tiki Barber. Happy birthday to the Barber brothers today. Jared Cook is notable. Tony Dorsett's birthday today. Born on this date in 1954, the only Heisman Trophy winner from the University of Pittsburgh in that school's history. Let's see if we got a couple.
So that makes him 61.
Dominic Rogers Cromartie, one of the active players in the league, was born on April 7th, as well as Ricky Waters of the San Francisco 49ers and Seattle Seahawks at one point in his career. But that's this date in football history. At Best Fence, the mission is to fabricate and install the highest quality product at a competitive price while providing unsurpassed customer service. Fencing is an investment in your home. Your family will feel protected, and you'll breathe easier knowing Best Fence installed your new fence. Best Fence provides professional free estimates at your convenience. Call them today at 904-268-1638 or visit bestfencejacks.net for more information. That is this date in football history.
Now, the Honda Drive around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
Well, the Dolphins' busy offseason continues on as multiple media reports have Miami hosting former Packers and Vikings wideout Greg Jennings this afternoon in South Beach. The Dolphins have already traded away Mike Wallace, traded for Kenny Stills, and hosted Michael Crabtree, another free agent wide receiver recently for a visit last week. And there certainly seems to be some hard feelings between the new Bills running back LeSean McCoy and his former team, the Philadelphia Eagles. Here's what McCoy had said to the Philadelphia Inquirer last night. I don't think Chip Kelly likes or respects the Stars. I'm being honest. I think he likes the fact that it's Chip Kelly and the Eagles. And the Bills began their offseason program yesterday, and one of their offseason acquisitions was wide receiver Percy Harvin. The former Gators wideout is now on his fourth team in four seasons. Harvin said yesterday that he thinks his best football is yet to come and that the world has not seen his best ball yet. Harvin also said joining Sammy Watkins and Robert Woods in the Bills receiving unit was a huge reason he came to Buffalo, and that's all I have for the Honda driver on the NFL.
Pull yourself together, Lord. Pull yourself together.
Just because you're not a Gator fan, Tyler, you don't have to say such mean things about Percy Harvin.
I tried to hold back.
Look, the Greg Jennings note is obviously an interesting one there, mm-hmm. with him visiting Miami. You did cross talk with me last Tuesday when I was like, what the heck is this guy doing? And it turned out to be an April Fool's joke. And like I said last Wednesday,
you're losing it, dude.
When I came in, I was like, he had me until he announced the time.
Right.
Like, until he said 10 p.m. Pacific. And I was like, come on. And I look over at the clock. And I'm like, oh, you jerk. Like, it had been an hour.
You had
or
me
so.
At done deal.
Yeah, done deal. I'm like, well, this is impossible. There's no way that he could have had a deal done and nobody knows. And then it struck me. It's April Fool's. But Greg Jennings still out there on the free agent market, visiting the Miami Dolphins today. I'm sure the Jags are still to some degree interested in bringing in a guy like Greg Jennings. I know every time that we bring up the topic of Greg Jennings, somebody is bound to send me on Twitter, what about Michael Crabtree? I don't know what to tell you about Michael Crabtree. I really don't. I thought that when free agency started, he looked like the fourth or fifth wide receiver on most lists that you would see, and there's just been virtually no interest in that player, whether it's an attitude thing or the recovery from that injury. I don't know. I wouldn't be upset if the Jaguars brought in Michael Crabtree to upgrade. At least they feel like upgrade that slot position. Wouldn't bother me at all, right? But there, it doesn't sound like that's something that they're planning on doing right now.
No, it doesn't look like that. But I think one of the things that I really am impressed about this organization is, and you can't count Justin Blackmon towards this because he was the previous regime, but it seems like for the most part, the players they're bringing in, they can really tell exactly what to expect out of the player off the field, mm-hmm. because they really haven't had a whole lot of issues with the players that they've drafted or signed in free agency. And so whatever they're doing in that interview process, whether it's Dave talking to them, Gus, or some of the other scouts or coaches, they are able to really nail down the personality traits that they want in a player. And that to me is really well done, because you assume that they're really not getting to talk to them for very long. And remember, the players are completely coached up as to what to say too.
Well, yeah, and it feels like everyone they brought in, like this free agency class, they're all very comfortable handling us.
Absolutely.
In the media, which is something that you notice right away. Jared Odrick is awesome. Like, he's so chill about everything that's going on. He came in here, we're mispronouncing his name. he doesn't even blink. He's probably gotten that his whole life.
I love his hair.
Yeah. Oh, his hair is amazing. The Counting Crows thing comparisons he gets, he doesn't blink with that kind of stuff. Julius Thomas was very much the same way. And I didn't know what to expect with Julius Thomas, right?
Sure.
I mean, with the conversations that were coming out of Denver, and still are, mm-hmm. by the way, I watched Julius Thomas this weekend respond to some dude in Denver that tweeted at him because Julius was talking about the Final Four, tweeted out something about the Final Four, and some Broncos fan up there in Denver got back at him like, yeah, but you're going to have a bad season. And I'm like, this is so out of nowhere. And Julius just responds
you
with,
mad, bro?
Like, no, he was just like, I hope you enjoy your season as well. Good luck to you. Like, he was just like, I'm done, you know, with this kind of thing. To respond to somebody like that, in the position Julius is in, is something else. But there was all this conversation about what was Julius Thomas like in a locker room? What was he like with the media? How do his teammates and the guys around him feel about this guy? And I can just say, meeting him, I didn't get that sense. I didn't get what I was expecting to get from Julius Thomas, which is a good thing, because I wasn't sure about the guy they were getting. Love the player, wasn't sure about the guy.
I think everyone would have expected him to be a little bit more arrogant than he is. He is so humble. And he said right off the bat to you guys that he couldn't wait to get out to California and work with Blake and the other receivers, and absolutely went out there and worked with them. And I think if you – and you, honestly, one of the things I love about Twitter is you kind of get an insight into the players' personalities. And Julius truly is a hard-working, humble human being who – understands that he is playing a game and he works for a business. And that, yes, you would think that by the time you've been in the league for a few years, you would have figured that out, but I'm not sure that they all do. And so I've been truly impressed by him so far. We got to talk to Dan Scuda the first few days after he was signed on Helmets and Heels. And then we're looking forward to talking to the other free agents after that. And he was calm and, you know, laughing. And I, like you said, I really appreciate the personalities of this free agent class. And I think when you're bringing in veterans from other teams that have – the locker rooms have very different cultures than the one here, you don't know exactly how it's going to work. And that's why it goes back to that interview process. Whatever questions they're asking, they are able to determine the right personality mix for their locker room culture.
Sure, and it's not that they haven't taken risk. They've just been calculated. You know, they did draft Aaron Colvin coming off an ACL in the fourth
love
round.
Him.
They did draft Telvin Smith coming off a failed drug test at the combine.
And a much smaller, right, a much smaller linebacker.
They calculated that risk with that player and made a decision that, look, we know that they have this or whatever it is in the past. We believe in the player enough that we're going to give him a chance in this kind of position, because Telvin Smith is a guy who probably goes in the late second, third round of the draft if he doesn't have that failed test at the combine. And he faced up to it immediately from the moment that he came on with the media right after he got drafted by the team here. And in typical Mike Dempsey, Jaguars Today fashion, I'm finally going to get to a story that I teased 40 minutes ago, because that's how we roll here on this. Believe, when we tease it, we're going to get to it. It just may not be when we tease, we're going to get to it.
That's why you never tease a time.
Yeah, but Luke Jokel had a conversation with John Osher there for Jaguars.com and talked a little bit about his off-season training program this year. And Jokel is a really interesting guy, because there's a lot of expectation on him because he was the number two pick in the draft. It was a really bad draft that year. And when you go back and look at it, maybe they should have taken Sheldon Richardson when everything was said and done. But he plays the same position as Derek Marks. And that's the question we all have about a guy like Leonard Williams. Do you draft that guy if he's going to play the same position as one of the stars on your team right now? But Luke Jokel is a guy who they selected with the number two overall pick. It's a left tackle. They got a quarterback coming into his second year. Broke that leg his first year. And spent the entire offseason basically getting healthy from a broken leg. So for Jokel, it's his first opportunity to have a real offseason in the NFL, right? And look, there's a difference when you're working on strength training and trying to put on weight and doing those things.
Versus just rehabbing.
Right, because Jokel wasn't as big as he needed to be to play left tackle.
Right.
Now, it is interesting, if you read the article there on Jaguars.com that Osher wrote, he does talk about, he doesn't feel like he really is a 310 to 315 pound guy, that he has to work hard and really focus on diet and exercise if he's going to maintain that kind of weight. Well, you're a pro now, buddy. I mean, that's what's expected of you, and that's what's expected out of him going into this season, that he will be at around that kind of weight and be able to hold that so that he can be a more effective player for them at left tackle. We talked about all those young guys who need to step up and grow, right? Well, here it is. This is the opportunity. Luke Jokel, this is a bit of a make-or-break season for him
totally
here in a Jaguars uniform.
Yeah, I think not just the expectations of fans, because, yes, of course, everyone talks about, well, you have Tony Boselli still around the organization, so what does Tony think of Luke? And Tony still says that he's got high hopes for him, and he's got great technique, but he did need to get bigger. So this season is obviously huge for him, and huge, obviously, too, for the entire offensive line, who struggled so mightily last season. And if Blake is going to be able to have a good season, it is going to be because of the pieces like Luke Jokel, like Luke Boanko, and like Brandon Linder. And if they can cohesively get better, then this season is going to be much better than last year.
Yeah, and I'm sure we'll talk a little bit of offensive line. I know we'll talk a little bit of Blake Bortles with our next guest. Chris Mortensen from ESPN, kind enough to join us next here on Jaguars Today. Mike Dempsey out. He is ill today on the one-year anniversary of the show.
Wishing that he gets better quickly.
And he hates the fact that he's not here for this show. But Lauren Brooks, I'm Fat Tony. We'll talk to Chris Mortensen next here on Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Mike Dempsey, unable to be here today, is a little ill.
That's not stopping us, though.
It's the one-year anniversary of Jaguars today, and we're celebrating it a little bit here. I'm Fat Tony, Lauren Brooks. If you want to get in some of your favorite moments or meltdowns from Mike Dempsey.
Did you bring the champagne, by the way?
I did not. I'm not sure they would appreciate me drinking during the show. But if you want to share some of those, you can with us via Twitter or on the phone lines at 641-1010. Right now, we're going to get out to the phone lines and talk a little NFL football with Chris Mortensen at Mort Report on Twitter, obviously reporter for ESPN. Chris, how are you today?
Good, guys. I guess better than your co-host.
Much better than my co-host.
Yeah, I'm stay away from the clam chowder.
Yeah, he was in here. He was like, I'm going to do the first segment. And in the back of my head, I was like, I don't want to watch you get sick on the air, Mike. Just get out of here, get home, and get better, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow. Chris, it's always a pleasure when we get the opportunity to speak with you. And I know I've talked to you several times over the course of the last couple of years as the Jags have been in the middle of this rebuild and trying to figure out the right way to do things. Can you just talk a little bit about the process the Jaguars have been in and compare it to some of the other rebuilds that we've seen in the NFL over the last handful of years? Because it does feel like it's been a completely different process in Jacksonville than anywhere else.
Yeah, and I guess it may be a cliche to say it mimics somewhat what happened when Pete Carroll went to Seattle, but it's appropriate since we know that Gus Bradley came off that staff. And I say it's because, you know, when they went in there and it was, what was it, a four-win season when Pete took over, and they churned their roster with a remarkable number of transactions, which we're seeing now in Jacksonville. So it's more or less churning over the roster until you find the right combination, the right chemistry. And, but year three has got to be a bit of a payoff year. And I'm not talking about it means it's got to be a playoff year, but there's got to be some payoff here in terms of what you did. And I think Blake Bortles last year, getting the time under center, that's going to be huge. Getting the offensive line even more solidified through this draft, getting the type of defensive player that, you know, create the Leo position as is known. And certainly that's why a lot of people are projecting Dante Fowler to the Jaguars with that third pick. I think that's what they've done. They've turned over the roster continuously, and, you know, they obviously want to settle down. They're young. They want them to be more athletic. I think they're getting more athletic. But now it's time for the quarterback to step up, mature, play consistent football, and the other young guys that they've drafted as well in the last couple of years to do the same.
Chris, how have your expectations changed for this team compared with last year's offseason as with this year's offseason?
You know, it's funny because I was talking to somebody last night about the Jaguars, and it wasn't anybody with Jacksonville, but it was another team's, you know, scout, and he just said, I just don't see much changing with Jacksonville with their record. I said, there will be a change. I mean, you know, he suggested that they might be picking the same spot next year. I said, well, that's the case. So we'll be having a new coach and maybe a new general manager. But I just believe that they're going to have, the perception of the Jaguars is what the perception is. When you have this many losing seasons, nobody can change it except the team itself by going out and winning. And that's why I still think Bortles is a big part of this. That sounds like a cliche. But whatever experience he got last year, now he has a new offensive coordinator in Greg Olsen. They're going to have to develop an identity. They're going to have to utilize those young receivers they already have, and their defense has got to become a defense that consistently at least makes Andrew Luck flinch a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit, guys. That would be
and
nice.
That's not consistently,
Andrew Luck, obviously, one of
but
the
just
bright
enough,
young stars.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the bright young stars in the league, and Andrew Luck happens to be in your division. You're going to have to face him twice a year, so that defense needs to stiffen up a little bit. But you mentioned Blake Bortles a couple times already, Chris. And what were your expectations for him when he got drafted at number three last year?
Well, you know, even going in the draft, there was so much mixed on Blake Bortles. I mean, I talked to somebody I highly regard with a perennial playoff team who thought he was a franchise quarterback, and they didn't need one, and of course they were drafting near the bottom of the draft, so it didn't matter. I talked to others who just felt like, hey, it wasn't going to happen for the guy. So this is generally the what happens when we have quarterbacks in the draft. Andrew Luck was, there was no argument, no debate on him. There was debate on Robert Griffin III. There has been debate on most of the quarterback classes. Eli Manning, there was debate on him. Ben Roethlisberger and Philip Rivers, they all went in the same draft. But I think that with Bortles, that's what it is. But he's a big guy. He has some mobility. He's got plenty of arm. The comparisons have been made to Roethlisberger. I wouldn't obviously put him in that category yet, but I would lean towards more of the positive with Bortles than the negative, and that's why, establishing the offensive line and the run game and the defense. Because, listen, we just say, hey, it's got to be the quarterback, but a quarterback needs a good defense. He needs to know that he can throw a ball away and that a punt is a good play. A punt can be a good play now and then. He doesn't need to always feel that pressure where he's got to make the big throw or force a throw because his defense isn't going to stop the other team.
For a team like the Buccaneers, the draft for their fan base may not be that suspenseful, but obviously for the Jags, with as many needs as this team has, it is. And so if you're Dave Caldwell going into this draft, are you looking at Amari Cooper? Are you looking at Dante Fowler? Where would you go with that pick?
Yeah, well, nobody's hired me as their general manager, so I don't have to make that pick.
Not yet.
I would agree that Dante Fowler would be a wise pick. I mean, I'm a big Amari Cooper fan. Think the guy is very polished, and certainly Dave has been under Bill Polian in Indianapolis, where Bill's certainly surrounded guys like Peyton Manning with a Marvin Harrison and a Reggie Wayne. Both were first round picks. Now they weren't at the top of the draft first round picks, but this is a deep draft for receivers. And so I think you've got Dante Fowler. If you just look at Dante Fowler in uniform and put a Seahawks uniform on him, you'd say he looks exactly like one. And I would say, in this case, this is exactly what, Gus Bradley needs, what this team needs. And I think the wise pick would be Fowler over, say, a guy like Cooper. The Buccaneers were assuming they're taking Jameis Winston. I guess that's a fair assumption. But we still have a few weeks to the draft.
Chris Mortensen joining us from ESPN and at Mort Report on Twitter if you want to give him a follow there. Chris, you mentioned Bill Polian and the Colts for years, how they kept surrounding Peyton Manning with more and more weapons on offense. They kept drafting offense early. The Giants for several years kept drafting defensive linemen, and there were people around the league that were going, well, why do you keep drafting? If you have some already, why do you keep doing that? And it's because you want your strength to remain your strength. It's hard to figure out what that is for Jacksonville. So I'm going to ask you a question that I'm not even sure we can answer in Jacksonville right now. But what is the identity of this Jacksonville Jaguars team, or at least what do they appear to want it to be?
Well, I mean, their identity to me is that they play hard. That's a character trait. But in terms of the talent, it's young, and we got to see it together. I mean, I think that, we know it's a copycat league, so why what you're trying to copycat, it really is what the Seahawks have done. That's the type of athlete that you want. And so you want to be able to play, situational football. You want to be able to play with those type of athletes, guys who are relentless, build the type of depth that you need to do that. But other than that, it's really they're young and they play hard. Well, it's got to translate to wins. And so, I think that's important to the team, to the fan base, to everybody there, to the coaching staff. I mean, nobody's ignorant of the fact that, 3 years, it used to be 5 years for a coach, and now you just wonder, okay, after 3 years, how much pressure is there on Gus Bradley? Well, Gus handles pressure about as well as anybody I've ever met, but at the same time, it's one of those rosters that you say, okay, they've been putting together these young players. They need to take it to the next level, and they need to do it in a hurry.
How would you rate the free agency class that the Jags recently signed?
I haven't even looked at it. Aldrick, good signing. You have to fill me in. I've got about other. I've been doing all draft work here lately, so. So
we got a linebacker from San Francisco and Dan Skidda. We got tight end Julius Thomas from the Denver Broncos.
Well, I don't like Julius Thomas at all. No, I'm kidding you on Julius. listen, I think that's part of the development of Blake Bortles, and Julius was still in the developmental stage. And Peyton Manning gets a lot of credit for developing him. One thing about Julius is, first of all, he's a smart young man. He's a high integrity guy. He's still a former basketball player, and you know, getting nicked up and the ankle sprains, and he tried to play through those things, showing his own football character there. That's a big thing. But when you pay that much money for a tight end, you know, the $9 million plus, then it's got to be as good as it was when he was healthy with Peyton Manning. And but otherwise, I'm a fan of him. I think Skidda was a good signing. I do think that's a good signing. So there's no reason not to, you know, to sit there and criticize what they did in free agency. And sometimes you do have to overpay, which they, you know, technically they did for Julius Thomas, but otherwise, if they didn't, guess where he would have ended up at? The Seattle Seahawks. Because there was a big part of him that wanted to play in Seattle, and Jacksonville made it impossible for him to even consider it seriously.
Chris Mortensen from ESPN joining us here. And, look, talking about the draft, it sounds like you do like Dante Fowler probably to the Jags there at that number three spot. One of the interesting side notes to the draft for the Jaguars this year is their big need at the running back position. And I don't think that that's something that they're going to be addressing at three, obviously, with Todd Gurley or Melvin Gordon. But they do have Melvin Gordon coming in for a visit today, so maybe that's a guy they're looking at if they trade back in the first round. How do you feel about these guys, especially a guy like Todd Gurley, in a league where it feels like everyone keeps trying to devalue the running back? What is his value in the first round of this year's draft?
Well, from the time he got hurt, and I know Mark Richt, the head coach of the Georgia, fairly well, you know, and Dr. James Andrews, who did the surgery on him, the advantage that Gurley had is that he had no other damage other than the ACL. And I've heard some people actually be cynical about that, said, oh, just other than the ACL. No, when guys tear up their knee, they have sometimes they have so much damage to other ligaments that it makes it more complicated. And so Gurley is a guy that I still think goes in the first round. He does not fall out of the first round. Some people believe they, you know, maybe it's the bottom of the first round. There's some people now starting to project them. Well, I saw one mock draft recently projected them top 10. That would shock me. But I think anywhere from 15 to 32, you know, you've got to take a look at them and consider that he's going somewhere in that range. So if he starts to slip to the bottom of the first round and you like him, then you're going to have to go get him. You can't rely on him to fall to you there in the second round.
Now, if you think he's going to be a franchise back, does that change the equation at all? Look, I think without the knee injury, he is a guy that we're talking about potentially being a top 10 pick. And honestly, the noise here in Jacksonville for them to select Todd Gurley would be immense if he hadn't suffered a knee injury. Now, I'd be with you saying, look, not a running back at three, please. But if he's worth a pick at 14, why isn't he worth a pick at 8 or 9?
Well, you know, I'm not saying he isn't, except that you still have a risk factor. I mean, you know, he's going to be 9 months removed from his surgery when the season starts. So, now listen, you have to be willing to sacrifice the first third of the season. You can't expect an Adrian Peterson miracle with these guys. You just can't. And you wouldn't want to, given how talented he is. So, you know, it's just that's the equation there. And then, but he is a special talent. I would say if he had not been injured, were you talking about a possible top 10 pick? Yeah, I think we are. There's no question about it. But guess what? He was injured. And the prospects for him going forward are very good. I talked to Dr. Andrews actually at the combine when somebody was made a story out of the fact that Todd didn't want his knee being pulled on and jerked around. Guess what? Dr. Andrews didn't want it being pulled and jerked around either because he was still in the healing process. But let me ask you this. I'm going to turn it around on you here. Are you suggesting that if you would take him in the top 10 otherwise, you should take him at number 3?
Ooh, like I said, no. I would not be a Gurley at 3 guy. If it was me pulling the trigger, there's just so much at stake with that pick for this team and this franchise. They need a running back, but not that desperately.
No, and listen, there are good running backs in this draft. There are good running backs in every draft, and history shows, and not all of them pan out, but history shows that sometimes you get them in the third round, like a Curtis Martin or, you know, Terrell Davis, who was, I think, sixth round, wasn't he? Or wherever he was taken by the Denver Broncos. And, I mean, you can find those guys. What you really want, you do want a committee of backs. Yeah, it's great to get a superstar, but getting depth in your running back position is so important because it's such a punishment position.
Before we let you go, Chris, we've talked a lot about Dante Fowler. How does he compare for you to those other pass rusher kind of Leo candidates, guys like Vic Beasley and Bud Dupree in this draft?
Yeah, listen, he's the one guy that has the fewest negative marks. I mean, there's a lot of, I mean, listen, this is given the granting that he is, you know, that he is a top prospect, but you know, he looks the part, he plays the part, he's got high football character by all accounts, and I think that those things are important. And you know, there's just a lot of people that think that he's listen, he's going to come back play after play, regardless of whether or not he, you know, got beat like by Lyle Collins, you know, when in the LSU game, the tackle from LSU, Dante admitted, whooped his butt. He's going to come back and still come for more, and that's what you want, because you don't win every battle here, and there is an adjustment to the NFL. But I think people like his football character, and like the fact that he gets it, and then athletically, he checks basically every box. I mean, so, you know, I don't think there's a debate there on him.
He is Chris Mortensen from ESPN. Thank you so much for giving us a few minutes of your time today, Chris. I know we usually get the opportunity to talk to you right around the J-Fund marathon that we do.
That's coming up, too.
It's always a pleasure. Yeah, and we'll talk to you again when that comes up, Chris. We always appreciate you giving us a few minutes here, bud. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
You guys have a great day. Thank you.
You too. Hope you feel better.
All right, that's Chris Mortensen at Mort Report joining us here on Jaguars Today. We got the fan feedback spotlight coming up next. We're asking you today, what, if anything, does the list of players coming to visit the Jags today say to you? You can add Dante Fowler to that list of guys that will be coming here to Jacksonville. He is joining Shane Ray, Melvin Gordon, Leonard Williams, Amari Cooper, Devontae Parker, Randy Gregory, Vic Beasley, Michael Bennett, all coming to Jacksonville today to visit. Nine names that we know of will be here at the stadium today to say hello to the Jaguars and be interviewed a little bit with them. So what does that list say, if anything, to you about where the Jaguars are in this draft process? We'll get to some of your answers as we continue along. It's the one-year anniversary of Jaguars Today. We've been doing this for a whole year now, according to Lauren, at least. She's our historian on the show. She said April 7th was the first day. I believe her. So happy first anniversary to us. If you want to continue to share some of your favorite memories of the show, you can via Twitter. We'll get to some of your responses to the Tom Bush Motors fan feedback spotlight as we continue along here on a Tuesday edition of Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. I'll say it again. Pull yourself together, Brooks.
Oh, gosh. You know, some days are better than others in the pull yourself together category.
Yeah.
I tend to giggle. That's usually what gets me in trouble. When I was younger, it got me in trouble in church and in school a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And now it gets me in trouble on breaks during shows just because I amuse myself quite well, as a matter of fact, doing stupid things and then remembering them and rehashing them.
That's Lauren Brooks. I'm Fat Tony. Mike Dempsey out today because he's got the food poisoning. Apparently some bad clam chowder. So hopefully he'll be back with us tomorrow. He was here this morning. I promise you, he was in the building and just couldn't do it. He just couldn't make it through the show. And it was a funny scene. Like, you know when someone wants to work when they're sick and you're really just like, no, I don't want you to work.
Right.
Like, it's like, you're really sick. I don't want
you
here.
Go home.
Like, there's no joy in being around a legitimately sick person. Like, there's nothing fun about that. Because it's almost like you feel like you need to take care of him. Like I said, I was looking around the room to find a trash can. I was like, if he's going to stick around for a segment, he's not going to make it through a segment. Like, I was watching him. It's like, he's not making it through a segment with his food poisoning or whatever it is. It's just not happening.
Of all of the things, the topics that I thought would come up on today's show, vomiting was not one of them that I was prepared to discuss.
When you came in today, you didn't think that would be a topic of conversation?
I did not.
That's a shame, because it turned out to be a big one today with food poisoning on the first anniversary of Jaguars today. Today on the Fan Feedback Spotlight, the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships asked Jaguars fans, what drives you? Today in the Tom Bush Fan Feedback Spotlight, we're asking, what, if anything, does that list of players that are coming in for a visit today tell you about where the Jaguars are in this pre-draft process? They got 9 players coming in for a visit today. Some of the responses we got via Twitter, at Irish Jaguar Stevie, saying Dave is making sure he has all the information required to move around in the first round if he wants to. From Tony Agolini, always sarcastic, catered lunch must be pretty legit. From Area Man Smokescreen, hashtag Dave works in mysterious ways. From Cristiano, he will Jedi mind trick the other GMs and be able to draft all these guys. Hashtag.
All of them.
Not really.
Nice.
From Eric, it means they are doing their due diligence on all players and not tipping their hand. Smart. From Nick, nothing. Nobody knows what Dave is going to do on draft night. Hashtag and Dave we trust. Hashtag pick Vic. That's become Nick's calling card for the last couple of weeks. Pick Vic in every tweet he sends the show.
Pick Vic.
From Joe, part due diligent, part mind screw of the other GMs, part we are allowed to have these guys in, so why not? From David, it should be standard practice to fully evaluate all options on draft day. It's encouraging. From Michael, that the Jags have an owner and front office who are willing to spend on diligence and get fanfare. From Kevin, it says they have a plan, but want to touch all their bases as well. He also said, so good to hear 1010XL Lauren back on the show. And it has
that
been
was
good
nice.
To hear you back on the show here,
Lauren.
I think, for me, the list of players that they have coming in says that maybe there is some flexibility in the first round, but they had a similar list of guys that came in last year when this team was picking 3. And obviously, by the time they were even doing the visits, they were pretty sure their pick was going to be Bortles if he was there at 3. Now, maybe you're assuming that you can't know what Houston's going to do with that first pick, so if they do take Bortles, we need to know what we want to do with all these other guys. I think there is more flexibility for this team to move down in this first round than there has been through the first couple of drafts.
Especially if Mariota doesn't go second.
Sure.
And then things are wide open.
If Mariota goes second, now maybe Leonard Williams is a piece that you can move out of that spot for. Maybe somebody at 5 or 6 is in love with that prospect more than anybody else and says, all right, we'll give you blank to get up there. Now you're picking 5 or 6, so you're essentially in the same position, and that's why you bring in Vic Beasley and Shane Bray and all these pass rushers again for these visits like you are today, including Dante Fowler. It feels like there's this flexibility for the Jags this year that just hasn't been there before. So when they have all these guys in for a visit, it feels more real to me, like the prospect of having all these guys in. Like, I'm not sure if some of it isn't a smokescreen. Again, I just want to be in that room once and be able to have just listen to Dave and Gus have a conversation about what the plan is for the draft that I can't tell anyone about, just so I have a better idea of how the whole process works. Because every year when we get to about this point in time, it's like, all right, well, what does it mean? Like, you want everything to mean something, and in the end, a lot of it means nothing.
Well, you know, when you're younger and you're in school, certain classes have tests that weigh more than, say, projects. And so what I would love to be in the room for and figure out is how much percentage-wise does the on-field play and the tape matter versus the off-field in these interviews? Is it even 10% the off-field interviewing? Or is it weighed far more based off the fact that this organization has a certain culture and a certain attitude that they expect and work ethic they expect out of every player? So does that piece of the puzzle actually matter more here maybe than in other cities? That's what I would find fascinating, and I would love to know what kind of questions that they ask to be able to determine those answers.
Sure. I mean, like I said, I just want to be a part of the process once to feel what it's like and just see how different it is on that side. I think we capture part of it, but we can't ever capture the whole thing because we haven't been a part of it. And it's why, like, some guys I listen to a little more closely when they talk. Charlie Casserly is not a guy that I think is a great general manager in this league, but he's been on that side of it. And a guy like Daniel Jeremiah, who's done this kind of job in the NFL, when they talk about the process of evaluating players, I listen a little more attentively because they've done it. Now, there's a reason they're analysts and not GMs, right? There's a reason they're doing the jobs they're doing now instead of working in the league. But still, having been behind that curtain and seeing that process gives their opinion a little bit more validity for me, at least when they talk about the process of evaluating these guys. I'm fascinated by that whole thing because I feel like I grasp part of it, and the rest of it just eludes me every year. And I'm left, like, trying to guess at whether what anyone does is right. Like, I have an opinion on a lot of players, but not all these players, right? And
you mean help you hide in the air ducts?
Yeah, like, I want just one time to be on the inside of those kind of conversations, and rightfully, Dave Caldwell doesn't do that.
Exactly.
He shouldn't let me in.
Because if he did, he'd have to kill you.
Because I'd be in that room going, we should draft Ziggy Ansah because I like him. Like, that would be my draft analysis, and they don't need a guy like me in that room. Look, we got 3 weeks basically left to figure out this whole thing. I think it's 23 days now until the first round of the NFL draft. 23 days.
And so Mike will actually be in Chicago doing some shows from outside of there, but you're going to be here, is that right?
That's the plan.
Okay.
And I'm not sure how the show's going to work.
Right.
Because last time that he was on the road, we couldn't do it from in here in the stadium. But we're going to be in the stadium on that Friday because there's the potential of having that whoever they pick
draft
here
pick
in studio
here, right,
with us, like we have, like we did last year with Blake. So I'm going to be in studio live that Friday. I'm not sure what Mike's going to be doing, if he's going to be able to join me on
the
ISDN or whatever. I don't know what he's going to be doing, but he is going up to Chicago for the NFL draft to do some shows with Sirius, and we'll be doing at least the Thursday show, he and I together, of draft weekend.
Good
if he's
stuff.
If he's not doing the whole 2 hours on that Friday, I'm sure we'll get him on to talk about that draft. I remember last year, that Friday was so much fun. It was so much fun because some of the fans were just so mad, and the comparisons to Blaine Gabbert with Blake Bortles. We got the
it was an uproar.
It was the first time on Jaguars Today that you people unleashed the rage monster in Dempsey. It was the first time that someone in this building came and closed that door while we were doing a show. It was last year, that Friday of the draft, because you hit the right buttons with Mike that particular day, and he was letting everyone have it. It's been fun today. Mike should be back with us tomorrow. Kind enough, Lauren, you were kind enough to come in here and join us for the entire 2 hours.